speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They're watching rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers. Okay.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Watch With Mothers podcast number 35. My name's Swineshead, bonjour, and I'm here with Napoleon.
Hello, hello!
Ah, bonjour, mon ami.
Bonjour, whatever.
Yeah, we're actually recording this in occupied France at the moment.
We are, yeah, the bombs are raining down, the Nazis have turned up, haven't they, and the Italians.
Yep, and the Italians, the Gestapo, the whole blooming lot of them.
Yep, they're all here. There's no respite. The Americans haven't joined the war yet, have they? The cowards.
No, not quite yet. And there's all kinds of disputes over lost artwork, all that kind of business.
There's a painting's recently gone missing. Which,
something to do with a cuckoo clock.
There was a cuckoo clock went missing. I think it was the world's first example of a cuckoo clock. Plus a painting went missing of a young lady who's known as a fallen Madonna with the big boobies.
I think they know what we're talking about.
I think they do, don't they? What are we talking about?
We're talking about hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Hello, hello. Bonjour. Fantastic.
I actually agree that it was a fantastic show because it's kind of been sullied by time, the memory of Hello Hello. Everyone thinks it was a cheese fest. But looking back over YouTube clips, it was actually pretty bloody funny.
It was, yeah. To give it its dues, it doesn't surprise me that it was quite funny because it was written by one half of the comedy writing partnership that came up with Dad's Army, It Ain't Half Hot Mum, Heidi High and Yerang My Lord.
Well, yeah, that is good pedigree, but by the same token, he was part of a writing team of two. I mean, look what happened to John Lennon's solo career.
He did that. He did that. That one, didn't he?
Which one? Imogen.
You know the one. Nobody's got anything anymore. That one.
What, on the piano?
Yeah, you know, there was him. There was his awful wife. Just going. No, it's. I don't know what it was called. Nobody's got anything anymore.
You're right, it was called Nobody's Got Anything Anymore, and it went, Nobody's Got Anything Anymore.
Isn't
everybody
that lovely?
Who was rich is now poor.
That's the one. So it wasn't all bad. I mean, I personally don't think it was as good as Macca's solo career.
Speaking of. Do you think they make that noise replicating the sound of an accordion? Because at the beginning of Hello Hello, it does go.
Maybe with a bit of shrugging.
Yeah, and a little bit of a palms outstretched. Boof.
Is this offensive to the French?
No, I used to share a two-bedroom flat with a Frenchman.
You know a French?
I visit him occasionally in Paris.
Is his name Jean-Claude?
His name is Laurent.
Is his name Le Odepec?
Close, it's Laurent.
Is it Benoit?
Yeah, you're close. But I was going to say, they can dish it out just as well as they can take it, trust me.
Really? So if you were to go over there and say, have you seen Hello Hello, Benoit? They'd go, mais oui, it is not offensive to the French people.
Well, they would just as easily mock the kind of thing we say. For example, my pal Laurent, his favourite English expression. His favourite expression is, it is not my cup of tea.
It is not my cup of tea.
Because obviously that's to a foreign person, that just sounds insane, doesn't it?
Right, so I mean, I'm assuming they say, where there is muck, there is brass.
Exactly, you've got the kind of dynamic in a bizarre friendship.
May we? Well, that sounds nice. I mean, I've never been to France myself.
Have you got any friends? What am I asking? Are you friends with anyone from the continent, i.e., Italians, Francais, Germans?
No. I used to know several Scandinavians, but we fell out.
Probably best left that then.
Yeah, I won't go into details, but I knew some Norwegians, a Finn, and a couple of Swedes.
Oh, Swedes! They're a fine people, the Swedes.
Well, they were all right. There was, you know, none of them. They did eat awful food. This strange brown cheese and herrings and what have you. But you can forgive them that. We all have our foibles.
Brown cheese?
Yeah, it was just, imagine cheese, but brown and a bit rubbery. A bit like off Dairy Lee.
Well, Dairy Lee doesn't go off. It's half made of plastic, isn't it?
Dairy Lee?
Yeah, am I thinking of Kraft cheese slices?
No, you're thinking of Kraft cheese slices. Yeah, Dairy Lee's the... it wasn't like Dairy Lee. It was more like Kraft cheese slices, thinking about it.
Right, so where are we going with this conversation then?
I don't know, I've lost my thread. Where are we?
Watching TV in our pants. Get out the mini chanders. It's watch with mothers. It's watch with mothers.
Right, yes, so we better start talking about Hello Hello, haven't we?
I suppose we had.
Do you see?
Yes. What angle would you like to approach it from?
Well, I think we'll do the usual slapdash approach that's served us so well for so many podcasts, which is essentially just saying things that I got off Wikipedia, if that's all right?
Well, you've given the game away, but that's all right. Carry on.
I don't care. I'm not interested. So anyway, yes, Hello Hello ran from 1982 until 1992. I had no idea it started so early.
10 years. I'd have thought it would have been a longer period because there were so many shows.
Ah, well, there's a story behind that, because I think the first three series ran along the traditional British lines of having six. But then the BBC decided they wanted to syndicate it to America, so they started making series with 20 episodes in it.
They liked it in America, did they?
Yeah, but then it didn't take off in America, though apparently it has done now. So they then went back to making series with 9 in it, 6 in it, 5 in it, whatever. There was 9 series eventually, and it ran for 85 episodes, including 2 Christmas specials. 85!
Well, that's ridiculous, isn't it?
It is. I mean, that is quite a lot. I mean, when you consider there was, 12 Fawlty Towers, I think something like 14 Spaced. These people did not pull their fingers out, whereas your Jeremy Lloyd and your David Croft, they bloody well pulled their fingers out on this one.
Well, if you were to sit down and watch them back to back, you'd be there for about 40 hours non-stop.
Well, I mean, each episode lasts... Hang on a minute. Right, each episode lasts 30 minutes, OK?
Yes.
So that's 83 episodes
at 30
minutes.
You said 85.
Wait a minute. And 2 episodes at 45 minutes.
Right.
OK, so 30 minutes for 83 episodes. Now then, 83 divided by 2... That's 41 and a half, so that's, wait a minute, 41 and a half, where am I going with this?
41 and a half.
That's reducing it to, that's right, so that's 41 and a half hours of TV, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, so hang on, 41 and a half hours of TV plus 245, 245 is at 90 minutes, so that's 1.5 hours, so we had another 1.5 hours on top, wait a minute. Half plus an half is 1, isn't it?
Half plus a half plus
is,
1.
Is, no, half plus a half is 1, isn't it? So that's half 1, 1
half.
And 1, that's 3. That's 43 hours of TV.
Isn't that what I said?
Yes.
Right. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Right, so, I don't know if a lot of people know, but it was actually... Hello Hello was originally a parody of a 70s programme called Secret Army. Do you know about that?
I read it on Wikipedia, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, apparently that was a joint venture between the BBC and the Belgian national broadcaster BRT. Show was set in a Brussels cafe where the owner, a Monsieur Albert Foiré, helps resistance fighter codenamed Yvette hide airmen in his restaurant. He gets into all sorts of scrapes and he's having an affair with his barmaid behind his wife's back.
Hang on, that happens in Secret Army?
Yeah, sound familiar?
It's exactly the same, isn't it?
It's the same thing. Even to the extent that the bar owner had a balding head and a little moustache and a little thing. He was dressed like René, essentially.
Did he regularly say to his wife, "You stupid woman"?
Well, yeah, I mean, what would happen is Albert Foiré's wife would come in and find him in the embrace of a barmaid, to which she would say, "Albert, what are you doing in the arms of that southern girl?" To which he would reply, "You stupid woman! Can you not see that she has just lost her father?" Or whatever. Yeah, and yeah, it did essentially. It was effectively a lower low, but without the laughs.
Right, well, I can't see much point in that, can you?
No, I can't, because, thankfully, in 1982, David Croft, who, as I've mentioned before, was also had already written Dad's Army and It Ain't Half Hot, Mum, came along and said, "No, hang on a minute, we could funny that fucker up."
Yeah, inject a little bit of spice into it.
Exactly. So, along with Jeremy Lloyd, was it Jeremy Lloyd? Yeah, Jeremy Lloyd, they wrote Hello, Hello, which was a funny version of Secret Army. And was it funny?
It was laugh out loud funny. So, Jeremy Lloyd, what's his credentials? Any idea?
Right, Jeremy Lloyd's pedigree. With David Croft, he also wrote Are You Being Served?
Classic.
Which is all, me pussy, me dripping pussy. He wrote something called Come Back, Mrs. Noah. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
No. Obviously, he wrote Hello, Hello with Croft as well. And he wrote Grace and Favour, which was bloody awful.
So he's maybe the one who tainted the copybook a bit.
He is. But there are some fascinating facts about Jeremy Lloyd. I don't know if you know this, but he was in School for Scoundrels, which was the Terry Thomas film.
Right.
You remember that?
Is that the whole cad thing?
Oh, hello. You know that?
Yeah.
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 That British thing. Hello.
Ding dong. Ding
I
dong.
Say, you know.
Ding dong.
Ding dong. Hello. So anyway, it was in that. It was in Help. Remember Help?
Help?
Yeah, Help.
Help?
Yeah, Help. What are you not understanding here?
Are you dropping your H? Is it Help, you mean?
Yeah, Help.
Help?
Help!
What, the Beatles film?
The Help. Beatles film, Help!
What, as in, Help, I need somebody, Help! Not just anybody.
That's the one.
Right.
Right, it was an Hard Day's Night.
What, Hard Day's Night?
Yeah, it was an Hard Day's Night, all right. You're doing this on purpose.
Sorry, let me get this straight. It was in.
All right.
He wrote Hello, Hello.
Yeah, he wrote Hello, Hello.
He was in Help.
He was in Help.
And he was in Hard Day's Night.
He was in Hard Day's Night, yeah.
He had trouble with one letter of the alphabet, basically.
He certainly did, yeah. He wasn't very good with his H's, admittedly.
He
was also in The Magic Christian.
The Magic Christian, never heard of that.
Ringo Starr film. I think it was written by Graham Chapman.
Right, yeah. If it's a Ringo Starr film, I'm not likely to have heard of it.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's not many people have gone out of their way to watch Ringo Starr films. I think also it also had Sonny Bono in it.
He's dead.
And was John Cleese in it?
Don't know.
Well, anyway, the other thing as well, Jeremy Lloyd was also married to Joanna Lumley.
Oh, was it? But he's not anymore.
He's not, no. It was a brief marriage that ended only months after they got married. Because the whole thing was that Lloyd was actually very popular in America as an actor. He was on that Rowan and Martin's Laughing as a regular. And he was seen by the Americans as one of these lovely cad-type characters. He was offered a Hollywood contract, and he was offered the chance to go back to Hollywood and live there and become a big star. But at the time, he was in love with Joanna Lumley, and he decided to stay in Britain and marry her. And then she left him.
She left him, did she?
Yeah, she left him, and the marriage broke down, and he never became that big star over in the USA.
Presumably this was in the 60s, was it?
Well, it was the tail end of the 60s, apparently. But America's loss was our gain, because if he'd have gone off, we would not have ended up with a lower low, or probably Are You Being Served?
Well, Joanna Lumley changed the course of British comedy.
She did, yes. It's thanks to Joanna Lumley that we today can enjoy 85 episodes of A Lower Low. So thanks a lot, Joanna.
Yeah, it's not only the Gurkhas who have to thank Joanna Lumley, it's also the British public who enjoy vaguely xenophobic humour.
And indeed the plastic arsehole industry. Father, is there anywhere on the internet I could go for informative television reviews? Yes, my boy, there is. It's called Watch With Mothers. You'll find it incredibly informative, despite the fact that it's written by the mentally challenged.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah, that's the basis for A Lower Low, Kevin. Obviously, I think we should just quickly mention David Croft. Major David Croft, OBE.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Order of the British Empire. In fact, I think it's the order of the most excellent order of the British Empire, isn't it?
Order of the most. So, OOTMEBE.
That's the one.
Right.
Right, well, anyway, yeah, he served as a major in the British Army during World War II, served in North Africa, India and Singapore. So you can't have a go at him because he's a war hero.
I wasn't going to have a go at him.
Well, you sounded like you were having a go at him.
Well, if he's a OOTMBE, then I'm certainly not going to.
Well, that's good. And not only did he do that, but as I've now mentioned three times, he wrote Dad's Army, classic. It ain't our fault, Mum, not so much a classic. Heidi High, a bona fide classic, and You Rang My Lord. I like that, but not many other people do.
Did he have nothing to do with O Dr. Beeching?
No, he didn't. Yes, he did. He wrote that with a man called Richard Spendlove. Sorry, I was at the bottom of my notes.
Oh, I'll forgive you for that, but he really is a titan of British comedy.
So, yeah, he wrote the Paul Shane triumvirate.
The Ted Triptych.
The Ted Triptych, yes, because they're all there. Heidi High, You Rang My Lord, O Dr. Beeching. What was your favourite out of them?
Didn't we talk about this last week?
No.
Well, I would have to say, probably because it was more of my era, You Rang My Lord.
You Rang My Lord. So you think that's better than Heidi High. You're wrong.
Well, do you remember that old lady in the kitchen who'd say, let's say, you can have those potato peelings to take home with you, and she'd say, oh, that'd be nice.
Well, it'd be nice if I could have some potato peelings to take back to my husband. Well, I never get no potato peelings. We have to live on hops and shit before the bins.
She was the reason it was better than Heidi High.
She wasn't, because Heidi High had Ted Bovis and it had, what's his name, who's dead now?
Spike?
No,
Spike.
Not Spike. Not Spike. We'll come on to Spike later, because there is a connection between Spike and Heidi High. No,
brilliant.
Hello, hello. But no, do you remember the Mr. Fairbrother?
Which one was he?
He was the camp commandant. No, they weren't called commandants, were they? British holiday camps.
What?
You know, Maplins.
There was no... A commandant? Are you mixing characters from Hello, Hello?
I've just spent the past 5 hours doing nothing but researching Hello, Hello, yes. I didn't mean commandant, I meant entertainment manager.
What, Spike?
No. Spike was the the camp comedian. Ted was the camp comic, and Jeffrey Fairbrother was the head of entertainment.
What, the one who Gladys Pugh fancied?
Yeah, and then he buggered off, and then what's his name off of Keeping Up Appearances came along, the brother of the one that smashes all the teacups, and then Gladys ended up marrying him, Clive.
Didn't he die, the Fairbrother?
Yeah, the Fairbrother died, yeah. He died of cancer. He was only about 45. Oh, that's sad, isn't it?
It's very sad, yeah.
Why are we talking about Heidi High?
We always end up talking about it, and you brought it up.
Another holiday rock. Heidi, heidi, ha. Holdy, holdy, ho. Go, go, go to the holiday rock. So anyway, should we talk about Hello, Hello?
Yes.
Oh, that was nice.
So, Hello, Hello. Who was your favourite character? Are we doing characters?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, we should really have a rundown of the characters before we start getting into favourite characters.
Go on then, I'll put my feet up while you go on about it.
Right, well, are we... Right, okay, well, I think we'll do the... Should we do the French first, before the mid-amble?
Yeah, French come first.
Okay, the French. Of course, your first Frenchman out the bag was, of course, René Artois.
Oh, René.
Obviously, the cowardly owner of... was his cafe actually called René's?
Could you really call him cowardly? He was housing two British airmen.
Yeah, but he didn't want to. And the only reason that he was housing those airmen was because the French resistance had threatened to shoot him if he didn't.
Fair point.
Yeah. Not only with that, the communist resistance threatened to kill him, and the Germans wanted to kill him as well. In fact, the Germans actually did kill him. Do you remember that?
No, René didn't die, did he?
René was shot dead, I think in the third series, and then throughout the rest of the show, had to pretend to be René's twin brother.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that is just one of the convoluted plot lines of Hello, Hello. If you watch the entire series, it actually got really, really complicated and difficult to understand. There was a whole thing about the fallen Madonna with the big boobies, which was the first ever episode that was mentioned. But that was essentially a painting that the commandant had wanted for himself. But Adolf Hitler wanted it as well. So he sent Herr Flick to go and get the picture. But then Herr Flick decided he wanted it. So they had to make loads of replicas. The commandant threatened to kill René.
Stop. You're doing plot, we're doing characters.
Oh, sorry. Right. Yeah, anyway, there was René. He was in love with his waitresses. And he was cowardly, and he was also his own twin brother.
You'd probably better kind of speed through these, otherwise we'll be here all day.
Well, I could reduce it to a series of catchphrases for most of them.
That's probably the best way, yeah.
Okay, Edith. René, what are you doing holding that servant girl in your arms? That was his wife. Yeah.
Take that one off.
Right, Madame Fanny. Edith, the flashing knobs. That was his mother.
Yeah, the old wrinkly lady in bed.
Right, okay, yep. Yvette. Oh, René! Yep.
That was the waitress who was a bit of a boiler.
The dirty waitress. The Vicky Michelle, the big woman.
Yeah, I prefer the other one.
What, Maria? The sexy Maria, the one that ended up getting lost in the post in the third series.
Is that where she went?
Yeah, that's where she they sent her off in the post and she got lost.
Right, you can tip Maria off now.
Right, Maria. Right, Mimi. Remember her?
Mimi? No.
Oh, she was the boot-faced one that replaced Maria. Little bugger with blonde hair and boggly eyes.
No, I'd have to look her up, I think.
Okay, Monsieur Leclerc, it is I, Leclerc.
I saw him in Panto once in Nottingham Theatre Royal.
What, Jack Haig?
Yes, I believe he played Aladdin's father, and he wandered onto stage, lifted his hat over his eyes and said, "It is I, Leclerc." Uproar.
Oh, I bet the blood he was. He died suddenly. Right, Monsieur Alphonse. Remember him?
No.
Or Edith, I have a dicky ticker. My dicky ticker. Played by Kenneth Connor.
Yeah, the bloke from Carry On.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Kenneth Connor. Undertaker.
I always think Bob Mortimer steals a bit of his kind of attitude.
He's
what I mean?
Though.
Well, Bob Morton was he's very similar in his mannerisms, I think.
He is a bit very similar. Actually, yeah, you're right, yeah. So essentially what Bob Morton was doing is he's leeching like a parasite off the memory of Kenneth Connor.
Yep, you can tick him off.
Right, oh, my breath's eggy.
What was the name of the one who would say, ever says it's only once?
Ah, well, I've completely forgotten about her, yeah. Listen very carefully, Asha says it's only once. That was Michelle, the leader of the French Resistance.
I found her incredibly attractive.
I did as well. I mean, of all the women in this show, as a boy, I liked Maria, the original waitress who left after three series, and, like you say, the French Resistance leader, Michelle. Because what was nice about Hello, Hello was all the French Resistance people were all women, weren't they?
Yeah, which made it seem like the French army... it's not the French army, is it, really?
No, there was no French army, really. That's really what got them into the trouble in the first place.
Yeah, so anyway, the young me and you would have to have fought over Maria and Michelle.
And, of course, I would have won.
Well, you had 4 years on me.
Exactly, yeah. So, therefore, I would have won. If I had to pick one, I'd probably pick Maria.
You'd pick Maria.
Yeah, leaving you with Michelle.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah? Listen very carefully. Asha says this only once. Is that turning you on?
Help.
same unpleasant African dictator, Idi Amin. I'm just here to say, this is a Wash With Mothers new podcast. They're great. Now I'm off to eat somebody's hay. Goodbye.
So is that all the French?
That's
sorted?
All the French. That's all the French. Let me just check. Yep. Right, so we move on to the Germans now, the Nazis.
The Hun.
The Hun, yeah. Plus one Italian, I think, yes. So we've got the enemy, this lot. First off is Major Erich von Klinkerhofen.
Was he the colonel?
He was not the colonel. That would have been the colonel, wouldn't it? This is Major General Erich von Klinkerhofen. He was
the little chap.
Yeah, no, you're thinking of Hans, not Hans, whatever. Anyway, let me just explain who he was. The commander of the German forces in the area where they were. He was the one that lived at the chateau, the one that originally wanted the picture for himself. He was a slightly camp-looking man whose real name was Hillary.
Did he look a bit like a sort of like Mr. Toad or something?
No. You're mixing him up with the next one, which is Colonel Kurt von Spum. Do you remember?
Right. Well, not that clear.
He was the local commandant that was, "Oh, René, I will have you shot." You know that bloke.
Right.
Yeah, he was the fat one that looked like Mr. Toad, who had. What's his name as his secretary?
The sidekick was the little fellow with the glasses.
We'll move on to him. But anyway, the colonel, he was the local colonel. Right. The next one, it would have been Lieutenant Herbert Gruber. He was the gay one, you know, the stereotype gay one, who had the little tank. And yet in the final episode, it was revealed that he ends up marrying Helga and having loads of children.
Helga? She was the Gestapo's second-in-command, wasn't she?
No, she wasn't. We'll move on to her soon. Captain Hans Gehring, who's a little chap, who used to, when they'd go, "Heil Hitler!" He'd be at the end going, "Plop!"
Oh, right, yeah, I know that one, yeah.
"Oh, Colonel, there is something over there." You see what I mean?
He was in Porridge, wasn't he?
What, Sam Kelly?
Wasn't he playing a very similar part? I believe he was.
He was in Porridge for a couple of episodes. He was also Dennis Waterman's chauffeur in On the Up.
Right, well, I don't remember that.
Well, you should do. So, next up, one of your favourites, Captain Alberto Bertarelli.
What a mistake to make.
Oh, the beautiful ladies, I kiss your hands.
Is this your wife or what a beautiful lady?
What a beautiful lady!
And this must be your mother. What a beautiful lady. That is not my mother. That is my wife. Oh, what a mistake to make.
Well, that just pretty much sums that up. I think the only thing to add there is that he played Terry in EastEnders.
Yeah, and he did that very well. He was my favourite character.
I like Terry, actually. Yeah, he wasn't my favourite character. I'd say it's a toss-up between Frank and Barry.
Barry, really?
Oh, I used to love Barry, mate. I was mortified when he was murdered off of Janine.
He's a good actor, but he was the archetypal loser, surely. Is that where you could relate?
No, fuck you. So, moving on. Herr Flick! Herr Otto Flick! He was the evil one.
The Gestapo man?
Yes, exactly. Apparently he was the godson of Heinrich Himmler, and he used to go, "You may kiss me... You may kiss me," when he was talking to Helga, who was the big brunette.
Oh, your phone's going.
The phone's going. I'm just about to say she wore erotic lingerie.
Anything to report from your time on Earth?
Yes, the humans voluntarily listen to two idiots waffling on about television.
What do they listen with?
With their ears.
It's Watch With Mothers.
So we'll return to... Christ, you know what?
What?
I haven't got an underwhelming celebrity ready. You keep the listeners busy.
Shall I keep the fires burning?
Yeah, I'll find an underwhelming thingy.
I've got a song. I can sing him a song. You ready?
Go for it.
Oh, the flies are having a race. A race on my face. They won't stop racing on my face. I don't like them racing on my face, but they still race the race on my face. Those fucking flies. Was that enough?
I was distracted myself.
I'm stoking the fires. I can't think of anything else. The song didn't last very long.
It's all right. I found one
here. Hey! Who is it? Burt Reynolds? No, he's not underwhelming.
No, he's completely overwhelming.
He is, actually, isn't he? Yeah, if you were to meet Burt Reynolds, excuse me. Are you ready?
Yes.
Professional, this.
This one is from, well, let me just say first that we're about to do the Underwhelming Celebrity Encounter slot.
Hey!
So, this one is from Louise Fleming.
Louise who?
Fleming.
Flem?
Ming.
Ming. Okay, how do you spell that? At P-H... L-E...
L-E-G...
G-M-I-N-G, space, is it? Or space...
Space I-N-G.
So it's Louise Fleming. Is there a hyphen?
Yeah, between Louise and Flem.
Right, Louise Fleming. Right, okay. Right, hello, Louise Fleming.
Right. She says, dear Swineshead, that's me.
That's you.
I'm not sure if this is the kind of thing you're after. That's not a good opening, is it?
No, it's not, no.
Right, she continues. The actor who played Billy Boswell in Bread used to DJ at a bar I frequented in the late 90s, early noughts, called The Matrix in St John's near Woking in Surrey.
Right.
The bar had a dance floor approximately the size of my nan's downstairs loo. It's quite hard to imagine that because I've never seen a nan's bog.
No, that's a point.
Where the little scouser would play banging tunes. Oh, I've got a text message.
Is it somebody saying, I want your bum?
Let me check. I want your bum. Yes, it is.
Ah, there we go. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to send that to you. A bum tish. Hey!
Okay, let's start again. This is going really badly. The bar had a dance floor approximately the size of my nan's downstairs loo where the little scouser would play banging tunes such as sex bum, you're my sex bum.
A baby, you can turn me on.
The girls of the area would dance away in their knee-high boots and halter neck tops and try and chat up him off the telly, despite him being a bad actor, a terrible DJ, and not particularly attractive. I have a vague, rather hazy, drunken recollection of him offering me a lift home one night, which I politely declined. Thank you, goodbye, Louise.
Louise Fleming.
Louise Fleming.
Right, well, which one was Billy? Was he the scroty one?
He's the one who said, greetings and salutations.
Remember? No, he wasn't.
He was the bow tie one.
No. Which
one? No, that was Joey.
That was Joey. Yeah,
Joey Boswell.
Joey had the big leather jacket, the flash car.
Right, he's the one who directed Sliding Doors.
Sliding
isn't he, Joey?
Doors, yeah, that's your Joey. You had Jack Boswell, who was also in Goodnight Sweetheart.
Yeah, he was the good one, yeah.
He was the fat one.
The funny one.
You had Aveline.
Yeah.
Yep.
Married a Vicar. Then you had...
You had Jonathan Morris.
Johnny Morris.
Who
he was in a...
He was a sophisticated one, wasn't he? The one that wanted, you know, had ideas above his station.
I'm a poet.
That's it, yeah. Him. Yeah? So then, Billy, by process of elimination, was the scroty youngest Boswell child.
Well, if he was the little one, then that is definitely very much underwhelming.
I'm incredibly underwhelmed by that. I think, in fact, that's probably the best one so far for underwhelmingness.
Yeah, I mean, the anecdote itself, if he'd have hit his nadgers on a bollard, then it would be a brilliant encounter. But as it stands, we're only really looking for underwhelmingness, so that one should really win a prize.
It should do. What sort of prize are you thinking?
An imaginary prize?
Well, in that case, well done, Louise Fleming. You've just won the Queen Mary. I got this hideous diarrhea coming out of my anus. I'd rather be
that doesn't doesn't sound good.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah, just trying to get a bit of a French feeling going. But
it sounded quite French.
Well, I picked it up and I realised I can't actually play the accordion. So.
Right. Why did you buy one?
I was bought it for my birthday, actually.
Did Laurent, did he buy you it?
No, it's my brother who's got no French roots whatsoever, so.
But he just decided to buy you an accordion. Bloody hell, he must be earning a bit.
No, it's one of those kids' ones. It's a squeeze box.
Oh, right. Okay, fair enough. That makes sense.
Andy's got a musical instrument shop right next to his house, so that would have made it a convenient buy.
So every year, I'm assuming you and your immediate family all get musical instruments?
No, you mentioned it. He did get me a xylophone the other year.
Yep, there you go. There's a connection. Can't even be asked to go down to the SO garage at the bottom of the road, I imagine. No, it's just the music shop, which happens to be next door. Do you want a kazoo?
Having said that, yeah, I do own a kazoo, but
yeah, where's that come from?
No, I bought that myself.
Oh, right, fair enough. I don't know why you don't actually need to buy a kazoo, you can just pretend to be a kazoo.
Go on then.
Does that sound all right?
Not quite as good as a kazoo.
What about... George! Sorry, I've gone into Zippy.
Officer Crabtree.
Officer Crabtree! A British spy posing as a French policeman. And wasn't he an authentic French person?
Well, he was trying to ape one, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of... One of the clever things about Allo Allo was each person who came from, you know, whichever country... they all spoke English, but they spoke it in a kind of cod theatrical... French accent, German accent, whatever. And so, obviously, him being British, he spoke in a French accent, unless he was speaking to the two airmen, when he'd speak like Noel Coward, wouldn't he?
Yeah, and he had the worst French accent of everyone, didn't he?
He did, yeah, and the joke was that he pronounced words wrong. So, if he was saying good morning, he would, of course, say...
Good morning.
Good morning. Say, for instance, he was passing by a baker's. What would he say?
I was just pissing by the baker's.
When I heard a loud shit.
Yeah, he would say shat, I think.
Well, no, he did say shit occasionally.
Did he?
He did, yes. Oh, or did he not? No, he may have said shat. I'm not rightly sure.
Either way, it's a bit blue.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the whole point was he said words and they sounded dirty because he was British trying to say French words. So, for instance, during an air raid, he said, "They have had a direct hit on the pimps." To which Reddy replied, "The pimps?" To which he replied, "The pimps! The pimps in the pimping station! No water is being pimped through the poops!"
It's actually quite funny, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Everything he said was absolutely brilliant. I mean, even at one stage, he admitted to René, "I admit ma franche could be butter."
But the thing is, he would actually be speaking to the French people in broken French, and I think if he was really doing that on the show, that would possibly be a bit too confusing for the unsophisticated audience.
Right.
See what I mean?
No.
Well, really, Allo Allo should come with subtitles, shouldn't it?
Well, what, just purely and simply because for Officer Crabtree?
No, for everyone.
Well, yeah, but they're all speaking in English.
Yeah, but they should be speaking in French, German, Italian, shouldn't they?
Oh, God, well, yeah, that would have made for a fun show.
Well, it would have been more authentic.
More authentic? Well, what, you want authenticity over somebody just putting on a French accent and going, "I do not like these Germans"?
Well, yeah, what if I do?
Well, because that would have been shit.
Well, you know, one man's shit is another man's gold. That's what I think.
I will go out the bock pissage, or to loot. The bummer is already on the wee.
See, now you're just proving that if you overdo it, and 85 shows could be said to be overdoing it, it sort of loses its charm.
Can you not see me wanking? Winking?
Yeah, all right, that was good.
Yeah, that's good, I've got to admit. I mean, it was what, tea time this used to go out?
It wasn't, was it?
Yeah, it was tea time. It used to go out about 6:30, 7 o'clock on a Saturday, and it was the only show on British television that you could hear somebody go, "Can you not see me wanking?" at that time of the day.
Yeah, but that's not actually that exciting, is it?
What, having somebody say, "Wanking"?
Well, I suppose if you're about seven.
Well, that's how old you were. How old were you, say, in... Ooh, let me think. In 1985, how old were you?
I was 7 years old.
You were 7 years old. So therefore, if somebody came up to you and said, well, you were watching the TV and a man came on dressed as a Frenchman and went, "Can you not see me wanking?" you wouldn't have laughed your head off.
All right. All right, I probably would have.
Right, there you go. So I win that, don't I?
Who's your favourite Frenchman ever?
My favourite Frenchman ever? Probably the one that sang about, you know, whatever.
Gainsbourg?
No, not Sir Kevin, four little girls. I'm not particularly fond of that sentiment, but I quite liked him. What was his name?
Gigi.
Gigi. He was all right.
Montpellier Gigi, he was called, wasn't he?
Montpellier Gigi. How do you spell that?
Oh. M-O.
Yep.
U-N-T.
Yep.
P-E-C-U-L. I-A-R.
Right.
G-E-E space.
Right.
G-E-E space.
Well, like the Bee Gees?
Yeah, it's Mount Peculiar G-B-G-Bs.
Mount Peculiar G-B-G-Bs. Yeah, I liked him. What about yourself?
Favourite Frenchman?
Yeah.
Thierry Henry.
Well, yeah, but that's obvious, isn't it?
Maybe Arsene Wenger.
Who's your favourite Frenchman from the field of entertainment?
From the field of entertainment?
Not blimey. Football entertainment.
There aren't that many entertaining Frenchmen, are there?
There are. Name some famous Frenchmen. You've got Charles de Gaulle.
You've got Mount Peculiar Gigi. B-G-B.
Mount Peculiar Heebie-Jeebies. You've got, who else?
Nicolas Sarkozy.
Sacha Distel.
Sacha Baron von Cohen.
No, he's German.
Right.
It's the von that gives it away. I think that's it. That's all the famous French people, isn't it?
No, there's got to be more.
No, that's apart from footballers, that's it. That's all the famous French people there's ever been.
I like your Laurent Blanc off of the Restaurant.
La Restaurant? Is he French?
He's a Frenchman, yeah.
Right, anyway, I don't want to talk about the French anymore.
Are you sick of talking about the continent? You want to talk about Blighty?
Well, we could move on to that. I think, should we just end the hello, hello thing? It's not really working anymore. I think we've both given up. In 1986, Gordon Kay and Vicky Michelle released a cover of Je T'aime. Do you remember that song?
Yeah, by Gainsbourg.
Oui, Je T'aime. Je T'aime. That one. Anyway, it got to number 57 in the British charts.
Number 57?
Yeah, that's a high number.
That's quite good, yeah.
Yeah. Hello, Hello also spawned a stage show which ran from 1986 until 1992.
That's quite a good innings.
That was a good run, wasn't it? And it was also revived as a touring show, and this is where the beginning bit comes in, and I'm not sure I like this, with Geoffrey Holland, who played Spike.
Oh, who did he play?
Yeah, René.
Oh.
Ooh, I've written here in brackets, boo.
That's bad casting.
It is, yeah. Terrible. But anyway, going back, 1990, Gordon Kay suffered a horrendous accident when a advertising board blew off in a gale and went straight through his windscreen, left him with horrific head injuries. He didn't want to continue doing Hello, Hello after that, but he was convinced to do it by the writer of the show.
I remember he had a dent in his head from that point.
He did. That's right, yeah, he had a dent because a huge chunk of wood came through and smashed straight into his head.
Blimey.
Yeah, so anyway, so he carried on doing it for another 2 years, reluctantly. And then in 2007, do you remember the return of Hello, Hello?
No, I don't remember.
Right, well, it was essentially René writing his war memoirs with new bits by some of the cast members who weren't dead.
Well, I was going to say, by then, surely a huge amount of them would be buried.
Well, I mean, should we have a guess who's dead? Edith, she's definitely dead.
Yeah, Gordon Kay is alive.
Gordon Kay is alive, though he does have a slightly haunted look in his eyes these days.
Well, that's the advertising hoarding.
Well, yeah, exactly. Madame Fanny, she'll be dead.
Vicky Sinclair, or whatever her name is, she's alive.
Vicky Michelle, she's alive. I don't know about either Maria, Mimi or Michelle.
Montpellier, Peculiar, Gigi, Bajibi?
Montpellier, Peculiar, Bajibi, Heebie-jeebies. He died, sadly, in the early 80s, I think.
Monsieur Alphonse, I believe, is dead.
I'm afraid he is. Kenneth Connor kicked the bucket, I think, in the 1990s. Which, farewell, Monsieur Connor. One of the last of the carry-ons.
This feels a bit like watching Dad's Army with my mum, because she'll just sit there and point out who's dead.
Yeah, dead, dead. Well, to be honest, it's quite easy with Dad's Army, because you just put on Dad's Army and go, dead, 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 alive. That's it.
There's two. Clive Dunn's still going, isn't he?
Shit, yeah, Clive Dunn is still alive. How old is Clive Dunn?
He's a lot older than Ian Lavender, but even Ian Lavender's looking a bit, well, corpse-like these
well,
days.
Well, I'm starting to wonder whether Ian Lavender's going to take over Clive Dunn and end up even older than Clive Dunn.
Oh, watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. No. Yes. Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. Yes, I will watch with mothers.
So I think we've had enough of dabbling in the continent. Let's come back to home shores.
Yes, we've conclusively covered a low, low. So you should now be able to win a quiz on it.
Me?
Anybody. You've got a pub quiz coming up.
Yeah, and a lower low-based pub quiz.
You should know absolutely everything there is to know about that show now, and you will win the pig.
You will win the pig.
Yeah, you know, when they give away the prize and it's a load of meat, a load of pig meat.
Is that what they do in the north, is it?
Yeah, you win meat. That's what you win in pub quizzes, meat.
You tend to win, like, money. Or free drinks behind the bar.
No, you win meat.
Right, did you have a speech you wanted to make or something?
No, I didn't have a speech, but I was watching the One Show yesterday with the bearded Adrian Charles and the lovely Christine Breakley.
Mount Peculiar.
Right, yeah. Well, anyway, on there was a thing of it. It's not an article, is it? They call it a magazine show, but they don't call the reports articles, do they?
No, but they do carry advertorial, because Ricky Gervais will turn up and he'll be selling his DVD, won't he?
Well, I was saying about how great he is and how funny he is.
Yeah.
In the 90s.
I think on television they call it a strand.
Right, well, anyway, in the strand, one bit of a strand, the one that wasn't with the wildlife man, who I'm sure is intentionally sent out there to report only on animals with an R in their names...
Who are we talking about?
Well, this frog over there is closely related to a grasshopper over there. That bloke.
Is it Chris Langham?
It's not Chris Langham. It's the bald bloke from Birmingham.
Right, another one, yeah.
You know the one. Anyway, that's beside the point. They had a report, by another bald bloke, actually, but saying about Kraft taking over Cadbury. Boo, boo. There's been all that controversy, hasn't there?
What about asylum seekers?
No, not about asylum seekers, about Kraft taking over Cadbury's. That's a totally different thing altogether, asylum seekers.
Sorry, I was drifting off there.
Yeah, sorry, you've been reading the Daily Mail?
I wasn't. I was reading something that'll come up in a bit, but, yeah.
Right, Kraft. Well, anyway, so on there, they were going around with lots of products which you think are British, asking British people if they think they're British. Are you with me?
Yes, I'm following now. Yeah.
Right, so he holds up a thing of Tetley tea, he goes, is that British? They'll go, yes, that's British. And then he goes, no, it's not British.
Well, it would be blended in China or India, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, no, but the company is what they're on about. Because all the companies used to be owned by British, they used to be British companies owned by British things. Yeah?
Yeah,
but now they're owned by international conglomerates, corporations, all that, from all over the world. And anyway, right at the end of the report, one of the fellas that had been asked if these brands were British or not, goes, there's nothing British anymore. Like that.
Right.
Yeah, there's nothing British anymore. Well, I've made a list. See if you agree with me, because as far as I know, these things are still British. Are you ready?
Yeah, ready.
Right, number one, the British.
Yeah, that would. Yeah, that makes sense. I would have probably put that at the top of my list as well.
Cool. Right, number two, the British Isles.
Yep.
Yep, okay. Number three, the British Crown Dependencies.
Yep.
Yep, okay. Number four, Lincolnshire Sausages.
Yeah, they're British, I think.
Yep. Number four, pork pies, brackets Melton Mowbray and beyond.
Yeah, for the most part, British.
Okay, and number six, this is just a list in itself, so this is all one list, Gordon's Gin, Gordon Ramsay, Gordon Honeycomb and Gordon the Gopher.
All British, those Gordons.
All British. So when that man said, there's nothing British anymore, I think we've just conclusively proved, yes, there is. There's quite a lot of things.
Well, he was indulging in needless hyperbole, I believe.
Exactly. The man was a dullard. So there you go. So have you got anything British you'd like to speak about?
Well, do you consider yourself a Brit?
I do consider myself British, yes. I was born in Britain. I speak English, which is the language of Britain. I live in Britain. I'm clearly am British. So, yeah, I would consider myself British, yes.
So, were you, say, in the body of a foreign national looking to come into this country?
God forbid.
God forbid. Obviously, you have a perfect handle on English, apart from you can't pronounce your H's.
You can't pronounce quite a lot of words.
Well, that was a bit harsh.
Yeah, well, you know. Glass
bit ash.
Stones. Bit ash. That was a bit ash. Help!
Help. Well, what I've got here is a passing the life in the UK test, because someone quite close to me is applying for British citizenship.
Okay, yes.
So you should be able to walk through these questions.
I should do, because I'm British. I know everything there is to know about Britain. Ask me a question on Britain, I will get it right, because I'm probably the most British man in Britain.
I'll do better than that. I'll ask you 10 questions. How's that?
Good Lord, I can't wait for these. Could you just do a series of ticks along all of these and write a 10 at the bottom, please?
Well, we'll see how you get on.
Okay.
Question one.
Right.
It's multiple choice, all of these, so that makes it even easier.
Even easier.
What percentage of the population of the UK live in England? Is it A, 65%, B, 72%, C, 76% or D, 84%?
72%.
You say B. I say... Incorrect. It's
what?
84%.
84%. No, it's not. What about the Irish, the Welsh, the Scotch?
I'm sorry, this is government statistics.
Ridiculous. The government are right. What, the Labour Party? You believe them, do you?
Question two. Some people speak with a Cockney accent in A, Birmingham, B, Newcastle, C, Glasgow, or D, London?
London. D, London.
Ding! You got that one correct.
Of course I got that correct. I got the first one correct as well.
I'm afraid you didn't.
So that's two to me.
That's one to you. Don't be a bad sport.
I'm not being a bad sport. I'm not siding with Gordon Brown and his cronies.
Question three. When you start a job, an employer should give you a written statement or contract within A, 3 weeks, B, 1 month, C, 2 months, or D, 3 months?
Well, I'm self-employed.
Well, you've had jobs, haven't you?
Yeah, but I can't... 1 month, I think. Is it? Is that right?
1 month, you say? That's answer B. The answer is, in fact... Hang on.
Oh, for f...
It's C! 2 months. So, that's a cross. Okay. Moving on. How do you feel you're doing?
I think I'm doing all right. I think I've got all of them right so far, haven't I?
Incorrect. Question four. What proportion of the population of Britain have used illegal drugs at one time?
Loads.
Is it A, about a tenth, B, about a quarter, C, about a third, or D, about a half?
Oh, really? They did miss an opportunity there. They could have at least put about a teenth. You see what I did there?
About a Henry. Yes, carry on.
Yeah, anyway, I'd say at least half.
About a half, you say, so that's D.
Well, I mean, if you consider you've got the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, all of the Who, in fact, Black Sabbath?
I'm afraid it's one third, so that's another incorrect answer.
Black Sabbath?
They're from Birmingham, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's technically not the UK. Question five, halfway through.
Okay.
Which of these statements is correct? In Wales, children take national tests in education when they are 7, 11 and 14 years old. Or, in Wales, children take a national test in education when they are 14 years old.
The second one.
Ding! That is a correct answer.
You don't want to push the Welsh too much.
Why, what'll happen?
Oh, they might rebel.
A bonus point for that, I think.
Admittedly, they haven't done it in 800 years, but, you know, they might start. So, yeah, just give them the one test. Don't annoy them.
Question six. You must register the birth of a baby within 24 hours, a week, a month, or 6 weeks of the birth?
I think it's 6 weeks after the birth.
That is correct.
Ding! No point rushing it. Because you might decide that the baby had not been born.
What does that mean?
You may forget you had it.
Right. Question 1, 2, 3.
I've heard it's not a particularly painful experience.
Question 7. Since 1979, the number of refugees from Southeast Asia who have been allowed to settle in the UK is A, less than 2,500, B, between 2,501 and 10,000, C, between 10,001 and 25,000, or D, more than 25,000.
How does this help you assimilate into the United Kingdom?
Well, this is the question you have to ask yourself, but if you're British, you should know this. So
C, obviously. Oh, fab.
I'm afraid it's more than 25,000.
Is it now? Gross. And who says this? Who said what? The Office for National Thingamabobs? Is that who says it?
5, 6, 7. I just put a little cross there.
1, 2, 3, 4. Political correctness gone mad, is this?
Right, we're on number 8.
I was expecting questions about history.
Right, where are we? Which of these statements is correct? In the 1950s, Britain encouraged people from the West Indies to come to the UK to drive buses. Or B, in the 1950s, Britain encouraged people from the West Indies to come to the UK to work in factories.
The second one.
It's buses, funnily enough.
What, to drive buses? Is that it? Well, come to the UK and drive buses?
Apparently so.
Well, how many buses did we have in the 1950s?
Well, quite a few, I should imagine. Right, number 9, almost there. The number of children and young people up to the age of 19 in the UK is A, 13 million, B, 14 million, C, 15 million, or D, 16 million?
14 million.
It's 15 million. So that's a cross. And the final question to test your Britishness. In the UK, with a British dog, where does dog dirt come off of? Is it A, the shed, B, off of its anus, C, its leg, or D, Nicholas Lyndhurst?
I think you'll find that it comes off of its anus.
That's B, that is correct.
Hey! So I won that, didn't I?
4 out of 10, that's technically a loss.
4 out of 10, what's that mean?
4 out of 10 is what you achieved, so you'll be sent packing, basically.
Sent packing from my own country? Because I don't know a series of useless facts and statistics. Why didn't they ask me about Thatcher? Or Henry VIII, or the British Empire, or something British.
Well, there's nothing British left anymore, is there?
No, there isn't. You're right, there.
Well, I think we've basically done the work of the European Union for them.
I think we have, actually, yeah. That's hands across the water. Very similar to what we did with America, but this time we extended the hand of friendship to France, to Italy, and to Nazi Germany.
Yeah, when did we do it with America?
A few podcasts ago, we were on about beef boingers and motherfuckers, all that shit, weren't we?
No, I think we should devote an entire podcast solely to America, maybe. Then we've got every excuse to do that accent.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I'm game. I'm perfectly happy to do any accent. You name an accent, but I can do it. As long as it's not too far away, because then it sounds racist.
Give us a burst of your Antipodean Australian.
All right, g'day, mate. What, is that good?
It's absolutely fantastic, mate. I couldn't fault you on that one.
G'day, mate. I hope you don't mind, but I brought a few friends round. And I thought we could all
you know, shit on your floor and maybe ruin your television.
So that's kind of Australia via Huddersfield.
Sort of, yeah. I've got a bit of a story here that I'm working on. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, go on then.
Mr. Fiddler worked at the local puppies and sweets factory. On his day off, he liked to go for a stroll in the park, which was conveniently situated next door to a local primary school. Well, is that good for an opening for a novel?
Is it an adult novel?
No, I thought it was for children. A bit like probably, My Harry Potter.
Probably not ideal.
No. My Harry Potter. It could be called Barry Fiddler.
Barry Fiddler. Oh, he's a child, is he?
No, he's a fully grown man.
And he...
He works in a puppies and sweets factory.
And he loiters around children's playgrounds.
Yes, and he has an unhealthy hobby in long lens photography.
You stupid woman.
You stupid woman!
So, what have you done? We've summed up hello, hello. We've decided that you're not as British as you make out.
I am British. I'm just not British according to your stupid test. I don't know what that actually makes me if I'm not British.
So, we know hello, hello, back to back. We know that you're not British, and we suspect you might be a quarter Australian.
I could well be Australian, yes.
So that's that. Business done.
Right, well, and next time... isn't it a celebrity?
Is it a celebrity next time?
I think it might well be a celebrity. So if it is, you've got that to look forward to. However, if it's not, you haven't. And again, we've lied to you.
Well, you lied. I didn't lie.
Well, we both sort of lied because we're in this together, really, aren't we?
I suppose, yeah. Yeah. Guilty by association.
Exactly, yeah. Under the laws of the UK, something I noticed I didn't bother putting in your stupid quiz, you would be just as guilty as me. So we're either liars or we're not liars. So you just have to wait and see, really, won't you? I think that's it, isn't it? Is that the order of business closed for today?
Yeah, except just a clarification, it's not my stupid quiz, it's the government's stupid quiz. Goodbye. Yeah, yes.
All right, au revoir.
What's with mothers?